And as you consider that thought, that he is holy, I'm just going to read the first verse of this. I read this last year at this time. I might read all of it, just this one. O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the Spirit felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, O hear the angel voices, O night divine, the night when Christ was born. O night, O holy night, O night divine, O night, O holy night, O night divine. Obviously that's part of the song, O Holy Night, which is one of my favorites, which brought me a little bit, and reading the passages that I was reading about Jesus' birth, to he is holy. For us to consider, he is holy. He is above and beyond all things. If you think about what holy is, if you were to read, you know, the dictionary, it's going to tell you something that's sacred, something that's dedicated to God, something that's pure. But when we think of holy, what do we think about? Because obviously we're supposed to be holy as he is holy. But it's something precious. How many of us think that the rings we have on our left fingers, those of us that have them, our ring finger on our left hand is precious? You know? How precious is that? One of the most precious things we have, right? How many of us have grandchildren and they are such a precious thing in our lives? How many of us have a new car and it's so precious in our life? The excitement, the joy. You know, for those of you that have had a motorcycle in your life, hopefully American made one, but, you know, when I had mine, and we always had a saying, if you didn't get excited about every time you went out to the garage to get on it, you've lost it. You know, you've lost the joy, you've lost that excitement about it. Well, folks, when I speak about Jesus being holy, and he is holy, and God is holy, that same excitement, that same joy, when you open his holy word, when we gather together as saints, when we remember what he's done for us on the cross of Calvary, and that God planned since the beginning of the world for him to be born and to save us from our sins, and how holy Jesus was. Folks, we know in our lives how hard it is to do the right thing. Oh, wretched man that I am, Paul wrote. You know, we recognize how we fall short. You know? People ask me, how's your new job going? It's going good. Same stuff, different people. Not heaven. Folks, but when it comes to Jesus, he is holy. He is right. We talk about burden this morning in class. He should bring us joy, and he should bring us life abundantly, and he should elate us each and every day of our lives to be overcomers and walk by faith. Not be downtrodden, not to be weary, not to worry. Because he is holy. Without him being holy, without him obeying God, without him doing all the right things, not only in the kingdom of heaven, obviously, because God sent him specifically, because only he was holy enough to be a sacrifice for us, for eternity, for mankind. We read in our book, the demon that he cast out in the spirit, the unclean spirit, said the Holy One of God. Recognize Jesus as who he was. Folks, as we remember this lesson this morning, he is holy in our lives. Not to forget how precious Jesus is in our daily lives. The world takes one day a year and says, you know what, let's remember Jesus. It's a reason for the season. But us that are saved by him, that are connected and delivered by him and guided by him and his Holy Spirit in our daily lives, to have life more abundantly, to live in freedom, not bound by the things of this world, to recognize that he is holy. Our next passage this morning comes from the book of Luke, first chapter. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived her son in an old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." The Holy One, who is to be born, will be called the Son of God. Jesus was so holy that he had to give himself for us, for all of us, because we are not. And for us to admit that we need him is one of the ways that we recognize how holy he is, that he is the Son of God. Now in Luke, continuing on, farther along in the verse, talks about other things that are holy. Now his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father, Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." God had his holy prophets, his holy covenant, to grant to us that as we are being delivered from the hand of our enemies, that we might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. (Clears throat) If I choose to be angry and hateful to someone, is that easier to choose to be holy and righteous? It's just a choice. It's my determination to walk by faith and follow the precepts and promises and the holiness of our Savior and His example, or not. How many of us fear things in our lives? It says we might serve Him without fear. Without fear. I'll give you an example of me starting a new job. Okay? I'm fearful of failure. Fearful of not being liked by those I work with. I'm fearful of not being able to be all that it's expected of me to be. Now, I can cower to that fear and let it overwhelm me and direct me when my decisions, or I can rise above and seek God's help and follow the things that I know, precepts and promises, God's holy word to direct me in my daily life, to be kind, not to complain, as we talked about, not to murmur, to be an example, to keep my peace when I want to say something. I already made that mistake in the last couple weeks. You know? I could have said something in a different way, you know? I'm going to try and rectify that tomorrow. Because I want to follow He who is holy, in holiness and righteousness, without fear, folks. I don't know about you, but I don't like waking up in the morning worrying about something for the day. Whether it's a meeting, whether it's going to work, whether it's what the boss is going to say today, whether it's whether the car is going to start because it's cold, whether there's ice on the road, I didn't get up early enough. And I'm, you know. Folks, we got to wake up and walk by faith first thing in the morning. Because He is holy. He is the pure thing and the great thing that's going to be able to direct us in our path and in our walk. And to answer your question, Brother DC, yeah, my message is short this morning, okay? But the passages are long. Luke chapter 4, and beginning in verse 31. Then he went down to Capernaum, city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbaths. They were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet, come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word this is. For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the report about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house, but Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made a request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and served them. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And he rebuked them, did not allow them to speak, or they knew that he was the Christ. Now when it was day, he departed and went to a deserted place, and the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. Obviously, this is Luke's account of the same thing that our lesson text was in Mark. But in continuing on, for Jesus to be this powerful, this good, this great, the Son of God, to be as holy as he is, how precious he is, can you imagine? He still is here for us, folks. It says there, you know, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out, saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." Folks, there's nobody else ever in the face of the earth, in the history of mankind, that had the capability and the power to be able to help every single person with every single need they had. And he's the same great, holy Savior today in our lives. He's just not a person in the book. This book is about him, for us to believe in him and to walk by faith. And to trust him in our daily lives. And you know, sometimes we fall in the same trap that these people did. He departed and went to a deserted place. And the crowd sought him, came to him. Don't leave us, Jesus. Don't leave us, Jesus. Don't leave us. I want to be around you. You are the Holy One, the Most Holy One of God. Excuse me. And Jesus said, I got to be helping other people. There comes a point in time you got to walk by faith. Jesus got other things to do. We can be empowered with him, just like I talked about going to work, relying on him, relying on myself. Jesus didn't help me today. My car didn't start. Jesus didn't help me today. I forgot to put gas in my car and I run out of gas. Jesus didn't help me today. My food was cold when I ordered it at the restaurant. Folks, that's not walking by faith. That's blaming the Most Holy God for simple troubles in our life. We should rise above that. We will rise above that. It's a daily struggle. It's just not a one and done deal walking by faith. Satan wants us to walk by sight. Oh, you don't really believe that. Oh, man, you had another bad day. Ha ha, I won. Satan wants us to go to sleep troubled and worried. Satan doesn't want us to rest. Satan doesn't want us to be holy. He doesn't want us to walk by faith and trust in God. And when we recognize those little things in our lives that Satan's working on, folks, it's an opportunity to say, holy, holy, holy. Thank you for that song, Brother DC. To recognize that Jesus is there to help us. However he does it. Whether he sends a helper, whether he does it himself, whether he sends one of us to comfort one another, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I need to repent sometimes in my life because I'm too busy to help other people with their burdens. I got enough of my own. Jesus never said that. Jesus never said that. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come to me, you that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Our last passage this morning, Red Letter Edition, and Jesus speaks and says this in Matthew 7. Judge not that you be not judged.
For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye and look at the plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Jesus said, we've got stuff in our lives that's holy. And he said, do not give what is holy to the dogs. Follow me, do the right thing, basically is what he's saying. He's also saying, back here, when did he say this? Jesus mentions, do not give what is holy to the dogs, right after he says, don't be a hypocrite. You got enough problems of your own, okay? Doesn't say, you know, bear one another's burdens does not mean, DC, I see you're having problems with this. You need to repent. That's not bearing one another's burdens, folks. This is one of Satan's most powerful tools in our lives. I don't do that. You do. I don't sin in that manner. You do. Folks, Jesus is the only one that's holy enough to do that. And even he said, you'll be judged by my words. Don't be a hypocrite. One of the best ways to be holy in our lives is not to be a hypocrite. Be careful with what we say. It's, folks, it's tough. We love people. We talk to people. How many of us want to know what happened in somebody else's life and what somebody else got for Christmas? How many? Let's raise the hand. How many of us been on social media today? Yeah, raise your hand. Anybody? Come on. Okay. I am. I didn't ask what they got for Christmas. I just wished them Merry Christmas. My brothers and friends and family and people close to me. But folks, let's not get caught up in drama and forget about how holy Jesus is and the Savior. It's easy for us to do that sometimes. And let's recognize, folks, you know, I was thinking about this just as I was standing up here. If I had a speck in my eye, see, I still got a little bit of time left. If I had a speck, I take everything out of my pockets when I get up there. If I had a speck in my eye, okay, and I decided to dig it out a little bit, okay? Or if my wife has a speck in her eye, I decide to dig it out a little bit. How's that? Does that gonna feel good with this? Huh? Let alone having a plank, right? How are you going to take a plank out of your eye? Or a beam or a tube of four, as some versions say. What's the thing that hurts most to having a speck or a something in? Your eye. Isn't it unique that Jesus says? Okay? Think about that. How much that hurts. It hurts when you're judging somebody else. You're not being holy like Jesus when you're doing that. You're being a hypocrite. Because you're a sinner just like I'm a sinner. You're a sinner, I'm a sinner. Wouldn't you want to be a sinner too? No, we don't like being sinners. But we've got a Savior who is holy. Who can solve all those problems of sin in our lives. Who forgives us, who cleanses us so we can have eternal life. So we can have joy, joy, joy down in our hearts. So we can say, holy, holy, holy. I'm connected to God Almighty. I'm a child of the Most High God. I've been forgiven. I'm a servant of the Most High God. I've been forgiven. I'm a saint only by the blood of Christ.
I've been forgiven. Folks, we offer an invitation this morning to close the lesson. If you have not been forgiven by his blood, by being baptized into Christ, as Jesus says we should do, we offer that invitation. Folks, work on relying on the holiness of Jesus this week as you go about this week. And if you have a need to respond to invitation for prayers for congregation for any reason whatsoever, we invite you to come as we stand and sing this morning.